D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David Janes. Predators General Manager Barry Trotz. Leafing through Nashville Lifestyle's 25 Most Beautiful People.
Yeah, there's Luke Evangelista on the front. I never saw that. Looks really good. He looks great, actually.
He does. I didn't make the cut, unfortunately.
Yeah, I didn't make the cut either. it does say most beautiful people. That's why he didn't make it.
that is true. Nobody has ever confused me for being beautiful. Barry, with the Tampa Bay Lightning in town tonight, I want to start on Steven Stamkos.
Yeah.
And I'll level with you. I'm beginning to wonder if Steven Stamkos has lost a step. One goal, 2 points in 10 games. I acknowledge that some bad luck, could be involved, but I feel like I haven't noticed him as much on the ice. Andrew Burnett has moved him all over the lineup. He's back at center now.
Yeah.
Nothing seems to be working. What more can you do to get him going, and how concerned are you by the start to his season?
Well, you're always concerned all the time when you want everybody going. I just find that for the most part, in all my coaching career, it's a little bit like whack-a-mole. You can get three lines going. You can't get all four lines, and if you do, you're going to probably go on a decent run. But that's a lot of times it doesn't get going. I think with Steven, I still think that he's got the hockey IQ. He's still got the shot. He can still skate. You know, you look on the tracking models. When he goes, he can go. I just think he's watching the game a little bit. Sometimes you get in your own head because you're not – it's not happening as easy for you. Obviously Andrew's been moving him around. And sometimes when you move around a player, you know, he can feel it too. He's, you're trying to get me going and I can't produce or haven't been able to at this point. I sort of look through the whole long process. So, you know, we asked all our veteran players, hey, in our mind's eye, we'd like to have a young guy in each line, two veterans and a young guy. And they bought in. They really have. Starting with Steven and Marchie and Roman, I can go O'Reilly. They all bought in big time. And they said, yeah, absolutely. That's where we got to go if we're going to be successful. And so what happened, you know, he started with Svechkov as, you know, on his line. And we went through all the lines. And then the missing piece was Luke. Not at training camp, and now I'm looking at the, you know, three players. There's three players I'd really like to get going a little bit and piece together. You know, all three of those guys haven't had the start that we'd all like. So maybe there's something to that. But I think over time, you look at the Steven. Probably you could say he's. I don't know if he's been a slow starter over his career, but at the same time, I feel pretty strongly that. When all the dust settles, he's going to get his, you know, his share of points, and he's going to be a big factor for us.
We had Sportsnet's Elliot Freeman on the program on Thursday. We have him every Thursday. We were talking about Stamkos, and he wondered if, depending on how things go with the team, if there will come a point when you and Stamkos have to sit down and discuss which path is best for him and the organization moving forward. Is that something that's crossed your mind?
I think of everything all the time. To say it hasn't, it would be a lie. But at the same time, I try to prepare for everything. I'm not looking to do anything there. I do make sure that Steven can make his mark here. I mean, that was one of the reasons that I wanted to get Steven is that, you know, I knew it was going to be a tough process coming from Tampa Bay, where he was drafted, where he lived, where he's going to probably retire. And there was a lot of bonds and a lot of successes and a lot of, you know, water under the bridge in terms of his time there. And then I knew there was going to be an adjustment period. And then I was hoping that Stammer could really make his mark here. He could, you know, I think at some point they're probably going to put up a statue up in Tampa Bay, or, you know, he's going to go in their Wall of Fame or their Ring of Honor, whatever you want to call it. For sure, his jersey's going to get retired there. But I really felt strongly like, He can be a guy that can make a mark here, and I believe it right now, and I'm hoping that you know, his mark is not only you know, producing on the ice, but getting us to the next level with our young guys.
You mentioned Barry trying to get him going, using him in different roles, and I know you've said before that ideally you were hoping that he wouldn't have to play center.
Yeah.
So what did you see the other night? Talking to Andrew Burnett, he seemed somewhat encouraged. He thinks this could be a good thing, at least for now, of something that could jumpstart him.
Well, one of the things that when a player is say in his own, not in his own way, but struggling a little bit, sometimes you take them out of their zone. I think you get in a little bit of rut. Like we watched a lot of Stammer, and I go by and I ask the coaches what they see and all that, and they felt that he was just getting a little bit paralyzed with the game and watching the game rather than just participating the way he usually does. So they felt really strongly, you know, and Svetch wasn't really going really well as well, that they said, you know what, maybe we can get Stammer going and we'll put him in the middle. He seems to skate more in the middle. He has the puck more in the middle. And that's where he gets excited, and that's where he's been productive. So I like the move by Andrew, actually putting a Stammer in the middle to sort of try to reinvent a little bit and look at the game a little different. I do know this, that good things happen when you can get the puck in Steven Stamkos' hand. I watch our power play, the early struggles that we had. He never had the puck. He never got the puck. So how are you going to be productive? So that's not only on Steven, that's on the whole group. To get him the puck. I mean, he does one thing very, very well, and he shoots it and he can make plays from it. But you can't do any of that if you don't have the puck. So a little bit goes on everything. Maybe with Svetch being a left-handed, guy, he's sometimes maybe defaulting, hanging on to it, and not giving up to the Stammer side enough, and then all of a sudden you become an irrelevant player. It's like in football, we have you have your receivers go out, you're targeting the primary guy the whole time, and everybody else is fantasy. So people defer to different guys just because of the if they're left-handed, right-handed a little bit more, where you get the puck on the ice, what you see when you move it. I think Stammer really needs to play the give and go guy. If there's one thing I'd like to see Svetch do is give and go a little bit more. So maybe that it's as simple as that. We just got to, take a little break from each other, just sort of reset and go from there. And I know that that's what they're doing with Svetch, because he's a young player and he wants to be productive, but he hasn't been very productive at this point. It's not that we don't believe in him. I think sometimes those resets sort of get you reset, and then you come back and you're very productive. So it's a long season, and it's a long career. So missing a game here or there doesn't make a big difference in the long plan.
The power play, they got a big one the other night. And unfortunately, they didn't get too many other chances the rest of the night. It would have been nice to see if they could get a little confidence and momentum.
Yeah.
Every coach has been through it, where you go through a few weeks and your power play is just not connecting. It becomes something, I'm sure, that you try to figure out everything, right? There's superstition involved and changing things up. What did you try to do when you were trying to break out of a slump that way?
Well, every coach will tell you, hey, just simplify. And everybody will go, well, what's simplifying? Let's move the puck quicker. Let's shoot the puck more. Let's crash the net. Let's get into the 5-on-5 mentality, where you're moving the puck and you're trying to create with some pace, and see if you can get a dirty goal. You got to retrieve some pucks. And some of the best power plays in the league are the ones that are keep it real simple and retrieve pucks and sort of have that 5-on-5 mentality. Don't really think they're. I was looking the other day. I had a meeting with some people, and they were giving me a little grief on our power play, and I looked in the power play stats, and we're above or tied with Colorado and I think it was Carolina, and they've got pretty dominant people at in their lineup. So sometimes a power play is, because it's. You have the advantage, you slow things up, and you're looking to pass the puck into the net. I think the good power plays don't want to pass the puck in the net. They want to shoot it more. They want to get those secondary, make plays off the chaos. When there's chaos, you tend to make plays a lot better, and you get more opportunity. Conversely, when your power play is trying to pass it into the net and everything's very predictable, it's easy to kill too. So I think we're just the our power play can have more pace to it, a puck pace to it, and then a little more shooting mentality, and we'll be fine.
We asked Ellie about this, but it seems like there's everywhere you go, if you're looking at an article about things going on around the league, it seems like there are a ton of teams that are looking for center help. And you've made no secret over the last couple of years that centers are really hard to find. You'd love to have more. You've got a couple in the pipeline that you think down the road are. But what are you seeing right now as you look? I mean, that's I'm sure you have a lot of GMs calling you saying, boy, it's dry right now. There are centers that are available.
Every general manager I talk to, there's maybe only, you know, two or three that could say, hey, I'm fine at center ice. The rest of us are looking for anything. You know, we're looking for retired people coming out, you know. it's a position that just got really lean, and it's really important.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. The last couple draft classes, last year was obviously there was a lot of centermen in it, but the year before there wasn't a lot, you know. And I don't know why kids aren't wanting to play center. Maybe it's a lot more work to play center ice than it used to be. I don't know. I think usually, you know, I always look at what the kids want to do. You know, who's the best player in the game? Connor McDavid. What position? He's center. So I think every kid would want to be Connor McDavid. I want to play center. When I was growing up, you know, Bobby Orr was the guy, and everybody wanted to be Bobby Orr. You know, I don't know why there's not that many. I think it's a hard position to master. But I think it's also the position where you can make a really big difference. So I don't know what we're trying to draft them, and we're trying to develop them, and we just need time. I mean, really encouraging this weekend. You know, we made a deal with San Jose for Edstrom, and he had a tremendous weekend. He was really good. You know, he got a couple points, but I mean, his whole game translated to the National Hockey League. He's got a lot of substance to it. He's not going to wall you. And, you know, you look at Brady Martin coming down the middle, and Svech is doing a good job. I mean, he's in a little bit of a dry spell, but Svech is still a very young player. So we've got some guys coming, and we'll continue to draft. I'm going to dog our whole scouting staff. Where, you know, I want people in the middle. I want some more size on our team, especially you know, I think we've got the very mobile puck-moving defensemen that are here now and are coming. I want more size. I need more Nick Hags and Perbix type of players in our system. You know, Andrew Gibson's one of the few young guys that are fit that profile that are really big. So, you know, we're continuing to build there, but I think we got the smaller skilled wingers down right now.
Barry Trotz is with us. Correct me if I'm wrong, Barry. Did Bill Haslam join the team on the Canadian road trip a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, he was with us, and then he left us at the end, yes.
What is it like when the owner joins the team on the road, and what were his observations about how things are going?
Well, that's probably a better question for Bill Haslam than it is for Barry Trotz, but I can tell you that Bill Haslam is a great owner. He's a fan as well, and he wants nothing better for us to do well, nothing better for giving our players all the tools to succeed, and wanting a plan for the future of where we want to go. So, you know, when we are together, we talk about you know, what I'm trying to do, why I'm trying to do it. He's still learning the game. He's still learning the hockey business, the hockey world, and he loves the game. Like he loves the game, which is fantastic. If you're a participant in Smashville at all, it's great. It's probably music to your ears that we have such a great owner.
When you evaluate the team's performance, how much emphasis do you place on winning versus the process, regardless of the result? And where have you seen the most improvement in the overall process so far this season?
Well, I always look at the process. I shouldn't say I always do. When I was younger, I always looked about wins and losses because you're just that's all that you care about. because I think when you're young, you're worried about your job all the time. As I got older, I figured the process always overran everything, because I know when I've come into games, after games, I've come into, you know, we've played a bad game, I'll rip into our guys. If we've won, I'll rip into them. If we've played a great game and lost, I'll praise them. I think you have to be, if everything's just on wins and losses, it's really going to be hard. Probably from a fan standpoint, that's the most important thing. But from a management standpoint and a building, you know, I don't want to build a team that's just going to make the playoffs. I want to build a team that could eventually win a cup. And that process is going to take some time. But, yeah, I always look at the process, you know. Are you playing well? Are you playing together? Not everybody's going to be perfect. I mean, if everybody was perfect, we'd never, both teams would never score a goal. So there's going to be a lot of mistakes. It looks really easy I'm in the crow's nest. Now, the game's so easy from up there, but when you're behind the bench and you're playing the game, the angles, the speed, guys bearing down on you, the puck's bouncing, a guy gives you a pass and it's not flat. You don't see a guy because the ref's in front of you. There's so many things going on that it is such a hard game to perfect. And so you always hear about coaches, we got to simplify our game, we got to eliminate our mistakes. You're never going to eliminate all your mistakes, but the catastrophic ones, the ones that keep repeating, those are the ones that you can. And so either with changing of personnel or mindset, just like we talked about power play, if our mindset's a little bit different, our production's maybe a little bit different. And then, you know, when you don't have success, then you look for that perfect play rather than instinctive, being really instinctive and making that play that you always made all your life. So different pressures give you different results.
Have you seen improvement in the areas that you wanted to see improvement in terms of that process? So far, yeah.
I mean, I thought our 5-on-5 game was, as I said, I thought it was terrible last year. And I thought this year that it's much better. I mean, we've played some really good teams. You look at the team's records that we've played. They've been really good. And our process has been good. I haven't felt overwhelmed. Like last year, there was games that you felt like we're really overwhelmed here. We won't be able to correct this tonight. They're just way better than you. I haven't felt that way. I felt there's going to be every game, there's going to be parts of the game that you're going to feel overwhelmed, and then hopefully you can overwhelm the other team. And it goes back and forth. When you're getting overwhelmed, can you not give up a goal? Can you sort of bend but not break? I see more of that this year. A little bit is goaltending. A little bit is our defense. A little bit is our mindset. The other night, I think they're all blending in. We had so many games this last week, but we had a shift that was about 2 minutes long, but at the end of the day, there was no chances. The other team had the puck. We kept them to the outside. Guys were committing the block shots when they needed to, and they did. And as a coach or even a fan, sometimes you're going, oh, you know, stop it, stop, you know, get the puck back, get the puck back. Sometimes just keeping it on the outside and them getting no chances, it's a little bit of an illusion. You can have the puck all you want, but as long as you don't have it in the dangerous areas, I'm okay with it. And I did that in the island when we were in with the Islanders. We had the worst defensive team in the National Hockey League in the last 10 years, and we became the first. We ended up being the best at the end of the year. Our goaltenders won the Jennings Trophy as the best goals against, and we cut off 100 goals, which is, I don't know if it's been done before. And there was times when we had 2 minute shifts against us, but you weren't going to get into the high danger areas because we were not going to let you. And there's times when our team, either tired or you get caught on a change and you have to survive. And we've been able to survive most nights.
I want to ask you about a real positive story. Spencer Stastny, he's told his story publicly. Yeah. Last year at this time, he wasn't even really playing hockey. He was trying to get right mentally. And then he had, you know, a really tough year for sure. So I'm sure when you came into training camp, you weren't exactly sure what to expect, but here he is. He's playing maybe the best he's ever played, fair to say?
Really? I am so proud of Spencer for coming out and telling his story, because it takes a lot of courage to talk about that journey. You know, some of the things that he really didn't train, didn't want to be here. He knew he was going to, you know, maybe retire, all that. And to see him walking around with a smile on his face and having joy when he plays, and joy just being on a day-to-day basis of being part of the Nashville Predators, I think it's such a great story. And then the other thing that I like about him is, he looks so much more powerful because he's put the time and effort into it. But now he's trying to add that offensive part of his game, because his skating is elite. Like, he can, there's a couple of us, when you're up in the crow's nest and he takes off, you just wish that you could get up the ice once like that in your lifetime to see how fast that is. But I love the fact that he's trying to do things offensively. Before, he would just play a safe game. He'd once in a while jump up, but really wasn't a threat. Now he's becoming a threat, more and more of a threat. And he always was a guy that can defend well and transport the puck. So, he's getting a real good foundation for being a good defenseman.
Predators general manager Barry Trotz has been our guest on D-Maze, Ving, and Adonic. He joins us every Tuesday during hockey season at 5 o'clock. Barry, it's always a pleasure to see you. Good luck tonight. We'll talk next week.
We'll take luck anytime. You know that. This is a long season, and we played a lot of games. And I'm really proud of our fans. This last week we had a lot of games.
This is the fifth home game in 8 days.
Yes.
A lot of time here in Smashville.
And it is a lot of time in Smashville. And the crowd has been great. The energy has been great. And the commitment from them has been exceptional, because I know how hard our people work upstairs in the ticket office, in the game ops, and just as a general manager and the coaches, it's been a hard grind. So it's a grind not only for the players and everybody involved, but also the fans. There's a big commitment. It's not easy to get downtown like it used to be. So I really want to thank them. They've been great.
Thank you as always, Barry. 615-737-1025. We're off the air a little bit earlier tonight because of the earlier puck drop at 6:45. So we'll wrap up the show next. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Ving, 102.5 The Game.